Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Dan McNeil. Danny Parkins.
Here we go!
Afternoons on The Score.
Earl Thomas is in a little bit of trouble on the home front.
Had a gun pointed at his head by an angry woman, and, you know, unless
by
there
his
was
wife.
An under... Yeah, the wife. Yes, it was his wife.
His wife at the time is there.
He and his brother were in bed with some other ladies, and they were discovered at a nearby Airbnb they had rented, apparently, and, yeah, it's an ugly scene, and his wife had some thoughts for the girls he was with on her way out the door, on their way out the door. You hoes!
Just the superintendent! Yes, I want you to know, sir, that you have a whole living in the law. Rusty! Janice Rusty, do you hear me?
Group sex in an Airbnb with his brother, and his wife found out where he was by his Snapchat account.
Well, as you know, I'm not on Snapface and all that, so I don't really get those.
This was Earl Thomas's explanation of the incident.
Just keep us in y'all prayers, and stuff like this happens, bro. You know, we try to live the best life we possibly can, but sometimes it don't go as planned.
It's beautifully put.
I just love the casual nature of stuff like this happens.
It happens.
That is such an awesome explanation. If I tell you the story on the front end, and then your explanation is
stuff like this happens, bro.
Technically, he's right.
Sometimes you think you have true love, and then you catch the early flight home from San Diego, and a couple of nude people jump out of your bathroom blindfolded like a damn magic show, ready to your girlfriend, and it stops.
It stops right there.
And it continues right here, because I think what my friend Mitch is trying to say is that true love is blind.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkins Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Happy Friday during Scorantine, day 35. Nice use of old school. Mac, you on board with that there?
Oh, you know I know it. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Luke Wilson. I would have been a member of the fraternity. I am huge on that. And, of course, little Goodfellas in there for all of us. So many treats there. Just it happens. Stuff like this happens.
Stuff like this happens. Does it? I don't know. To Earl Thomas, yeah. It certainly does.
Bill Belichick saying Snapface instead of Snapchat, and I quickly was trying to think of who really is Snapface. If, you know, I'm thinking of a center in the NFL and maybe Jim Otto of the Raiders years back, good old number 00. He had a big old football face. Mick Tinglehoff, the Viking center, big oak tree face, snap face. Yeah, yeah. Well, you got to be a center. You want a snap face.
Oh, snap. I see what
you're
doing, man.
See, he snaps the ball, and he's got a real ugly face, and he just looks like a football player.
I'm going to go with Olin Krutz, too pretty to be, yes, to be
yes.
a center.
Dreamy yeah. eyes, which I never noticed until Ashley Field Shepkowski pointed it out, and we found that out at a remote when the Bears played the Cowboys this season, and I gazed into the handsome Hawaiian's eyes, and Ashley is 100% correct. He does have very, very pretty eyes.
They're piercing.
Yes, they are piercing. And I could sing These Eyes as Michael Cera from Superbad because I'm on board with that now, too. See, all these things, comedies take a few runs, man.
Oh, did you rewatch Superbad recently?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, we were arguing about it on the show. Shep, of course, hated it. And
I took it number one in the Seth Rogen draft.
You did. That's what sparked the conversation. And about 3 days later, I said, I need to give this another watch because I've only seen it once. And I thought it was absolutely spectacular.
Oh, I'm glad you came around. You didn't tell me. I think that has the best ending to a comedy maybe that I've ever seen. Like, because you know, like, comedies and romantic comedies, they always, like, at the end, they just try to get real serious to, like, land the point home. And it almost invariably fails. And people are like, you know, the first 75% of that movie was incredible. But then at the end, there were no more laughs.
Right.
The end of that movie is emotional and, like, heartfelt. And I don't know if just I was around that age when it came out and, like, high school going off to college and all of that. But that movie really, really resonated with me. I thought it was beautifully put.
I get it, and it's a lot of fun, and you're right. There is a poignant message at the end, and their feelings are feelings that a lot of us found relatable because we were very close to that buddy, and I get it. I totally am on board with that, and I thought Rogan was tremendous, and just loved him. Loved Michael Cera singing These Eyes by the Guess Who at the party. That's just
incredible.
You know, Van and I went to Canada 2 years ago, and we're driving home, and I got the Guess Who on my hard drive, and he's dying when These Eyes come on. And I said, what's funny? And he said, you don't remember this from Superbad? I said, I've seen it once. No, I don't. He said, oh, man, you got to watch it again just for the deployment of this song. Except he didn't use the word deployment. That was my word there. But, yeah, it's good. I like
He's the sweetest guy ever. Have you ever stared into his eyes? Was it the first time I heard the Beatles?
Just everything about that movie. I mean, Hader and Rogan as the cops, McLovin and the fake ID.
Yes.
The whole thing is just what he draws in class and he gets caught doing for his doodle game.
I love you. I love you. I'm not even embarrassed to say it. I love you.
Perfect.
The pictures he drew, too. I mean, all
a
of
big
all,
veiny mother.
all of his doodles. I mean, I'm not saying my notebooks looked like that, but I was every now and again I draw something similar to what he was drawing.
Yeah, of course, it's so sure relatable. Like everyone had that. Oh, that looks a little phallic. Let me draw that on the old margins of the worksheet in class, and then scribble over it.
I didn't continue to do it into my 40s, like during in the middle of an interview, which Yurko would do every now and again on the back of a page of Agate put together. We'd be in the middle of a baseball interview that he's asked a question already that already had been asked, and then he starts to doodle, and near the end of the interview he holds up his work and while we're still on the air. What do you think of that? He points to it like, what do you think of that? That's good work, John. That's really getting it done, man.
That's very impressive.
That is.
Way to stay locked in during the 5 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
Minds can wander a little bit. That's okay. We have today I believe Nick Shepkowski produced Surprise that I am unaware of. I don't know. Are you clued in on what's happening at 3:30 today?
I am indeed. Yes.
Okay. Excellent. So the joke's on me. Coming up at 3:30 today, I am the only one who doesn't know what is happening. 4 o'clock, we have a Chicago journalism story that I think sports fans and Chicagoans will care about. And we're hanging out the rest of the way. Is that an accurate description of 3:30, Mac? Is it a Shep-produced surprise? Are you involved in the master planning?
Be here at 3:30. Special 3:30 surprise for everybody today. Yeah,
sounds good.
Stop being so weird about the surprise. You keep asking who's in charge, who's responsible, whose idea. Just let it happen, man. Good God, it's a feel-good fast Friday.
I'm feeling good. It's going to go fast. I saw it tweeted out about a twist on Score Story. Shep said it was a surprise. I was just, you know, I'm a detective. I'm a planner. I like to know things. So I'm Seizing control. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. And that's why I was, for about 15 seconds, reluctant to say, yeah, go ahead and do this because of that. Because sometimes you don't seem to like surprises. And I've been a little bit irpy about them. That's a Terry Bohr's word. He was on the station today with Bernsey. Really good stuff. So I'm feeling like an irpy a few times. Yeah, I enjoyed it. As the Bulls from 97, 98, and beyond continue to be foremost in our minds these days. And why not? Episode 7 and 8 tonight. But I was a little irpy about it when I was playing point guard as well once upon a time. You like to have an idea. You're flexible with it, but you like to have a pretty good idea beforehand what the wheel's going to look like and what you need to prep. I totally get it, but it'll be easy. It's an easy one for you today, I promise you.
That's fine. It'll be fine. But you know me. I'm just trying to get to the bottom of it. Try to play the guessing game. I'm not trying to take the fun out of your surprise on your feel good Fast Friday, Tanny. Don't you worry about it. So Mac, I have a couple of different stories for you here. We obviously had the NFL schedule released in full last night. There is a present day Bulls story that feels very much like it could have been a Bulls story of the last 5 years, and the mayor of Chicago has unveiled her plan of how they plan to reopen the city in phases. Pick a door, any door, is fine. Where would you like to go?
You know what? I think the more what's most interesting is what's going on with the do's and can't do's of Chicago and the burbs for the next little while. I think that affects the most people of the three you mentioned.
Yeah, it is clearly the biggest newsworthy story. So here it is. It is a five-phase plan that is similar to Governor Pritzker's five-phase plan, but one key place where it differs is Governor Pritzker says that they will reevaluate moving from phase one to phase two to phase three, et cetera, every 28 days. Mayor Lightfoot has pledged to do a reevaluation and let the public know every 14 days on where we are in getting the city fully operational again.
We're talking about the four phases of football.
Four.
The offense, the defense, special teams, and then life.
Life. Exactly right. This is life.
Refresh me that. The 49ers coach?
That's right, Jim Tomsula.
Yeah.
That guy.
What a meathead.
I'm glad he's not in charge. All right, so phase one, follow strict guidelines of staying at home and maintaining distance. We are in phase two now, which is you only are allowed to go out for essential activities, wear your face covering in public, and practice social distancing. Phase three will be a limited reopening. Non-essential workers get to return to their jobs in a phased-in manner. Nonprofits and such opening if they can demonstrate safe plans for employees and customers. Some public amenities will reopen. Small business social gatherings will be limited to 10 people. You'll have to still deal with social distancing, face coverings. Those who are sick continue to stay home, even if you're just a little bit sick. The vulnerable population also will be advised to stay home. So phase three is a limited reopening. Closest we can get there is 2 weeks from now. Phase four, continue to reopen a little further. Additional businesses will come back online. All residents continue to wear face coverings and social distancing. Phase five, near complete reopening of our city. Businesses opening back up. Employees returning to jobs. Events resuming. Workplace screening and testing will be widespread. Anything stand out to you there?
Well, I think it's, you know, again, I'm going to be deferential, and that because I don't know. None of us in our business know. I'm going to trust that this is safe. It seems a little rushy to me, and you and I both have been pretty happy with Illinois and both locally and state. With the way they've handled this and how quick they were to react and the serious nature with which they treated it and the preparations at McCormick Place. And I was hoping, and I still am hopeful, that with Illinois, we will set a good example in terms of being conservative and being safe. And I know that doesn't agree with everybody listening, and that's okay. I'm just saying what I feel. I think there has been far too quick of a rush, and I've confessed to being guilty of this too, being lax and losing a little bit of discipline, and I'm seeing fewer face masks wherever I'm at, and I'm in Indiana, I'm in Illinois, I've spent a lot of time in both states, and it's way more relaxed here, and I hope Chicago, with a much higher density of population, doesn't get lazy, because our rates here have gone up. Our death toll is rising in Lake County, Indiana, and I just would love to see everybody err on the side of caution, and please, please be patient, and you got to be smart in determining how essential that job is, too, because that's always a debate. What's essential and what isn't essential? And I don't have answers, but I'm going to trust it that that's the right way to go about it. Fingers crossed.
It's tough, right? We don't have answers. We're following experts. You want to be listening to people who are listening to doctors and the healthcare things that will be guiding what they're calling the Protecting Chicago framework are answering four health-related questions. Whether the rate of transmission of the novel coronavirus across Chicago and surrounding communities is decreasing, whether the city has enough testing and contact tracing capacity to track the disease and limit its spread, whether there are enough support systems in place to protect vulnerable Chicagoans, and whether the healthcare system has capacity to handle a potential future surge. So I hope that they do that, right? I get that there is pressure from the golf community and Teddy Greenstein of the Chicago Tribune to why are the suburban courses open but the city courses aren't? There's more cases in the city. They're closing Chicago public parks, so that includes the golf courses, including Harborside. I know it sucks, but trust me, golf isn't essential. I love it. I want to be playing it, but if they're closing the Chicago public parks, they got to close the Chicago public golf courses. That's just how it works.
If you live in Lake County, Illinois, Wisconsin isn't that far away. If you live in Cook County, Northwest Indiana is not that far away. If you're a person who feels you have to play golf to preserve your sanity, drive a little bit, and you'll find some place that will accept you. It's not going on in the city right now. Very lenient down here in terms of golf restrictions right now. And I'm going to get out and practice a little bit this weekend. I'm not ready to play around, but I'm going to get out, and I'm going to be eager to observe what the behaviors are on the golf course with guys who probably don't live with each other, whether there's a lot of high-five action on the green, whether there's two people in a cart, because I won't do that. I just got to buckle back up on being smart here, because I think you get a little desensitized to it after a period of time. And I think I've already have it, but I don't know for sure. And until I do, I'm going to stay tucked away and not ride in a cart with a buddy. That's just not going to happen. I won't do it for a long, long time.
Well, that's the thing. Whenever this comes back and we're back doing shows in a radio studio again, it's still going to be different. Whenever that is, whether it's a month from now, 3 months from now, whenever it is, I'm not going to be taken in by public transportation. We'll be wearing masks to go from the garage up to the studio. And then you and I will be, my assumption will be, stay more than 6 feet from each other. Like during the show, maybe one of us will work from the third or fourth mic instead of the second mic right next to each other. Mm-hmm. And we'll just have to adjust. Like everyone, this gradual reopening, it's just, we're going to try to get back to more and more of a degree of normalcy each and every day and week as long as it's safe. But full-fledged normalcy, shaking hands, high-fiving, foursomes on the golf course or in Earl Thomas's Airbnb, flying on airplanes, hosting next to each other, passing stuff around. That seems like a long, long time away from me.
I don't know if you have, because you are a traveler, and maybe Owen's arrival has parked your travel desires, your wanderlust, but you and Steph love to travel, and you get on airplanes regularly with and without her to do guide trips. I don't know if you've looked into that. I likely will not be on an airplane the rest of this year. In fact, it's going to mean a lot of windshield time, because my son Patrick, wants to see his Uncle Mike this summer. I'm going to rent an RV this summer, and we're going west in an RV. And I feel safer that way. And I'll find RV parks that are operable and going to have us a blast and be responsible along the way. And it's going to be hard when we get to the Phoenix area, because Patrick really, really loves his Uncle Mike and is going to want to be physically affectionate with him. And Mike is working in a sales business that is operable right now. They're open for business. in the Mesa right now, it's essential to have low-end furniture, Danny. You have to have that available to the good denizens of Maricopa County, Arizona. So I don't want Patrick within 6 feet of him, and that's I hope he understands, because he cuddles up with his Uncle Mike at 26. He's affectionate with him, and he's not going to be able to do that. So,
but that's going to be hard. That's going to be confusing, and it's just going to be the new reality. Will I get on a plane before the end of the year? I don't know. I know we had a trip for New York scheduled this summer. That seems exceptionally unlikely at this point. We booked on Southwest, so you can cancel at any point and just get your money back. I hope my sister can come in from California for Thanksgiving. That's November. That's something that we like to have the whole family together for Thanksgiving. Got to get Owen to the Kansas City area to meet the living grandparents on both sides of the family. We'd like to at some point, but visiting people in nursing homes and elderly community living is certainly challenging. So I don't like it's still just big question marks. Like, those would be the three things that we'd want to do that we had planned for Owen's first year. And right now we are either going to be 3 for 3 or more likely 0 for 3. Like, it's just it's all TBD right now.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't have an answer for you. I would like to, I'd like to think they're cleaning the planes. They're not at full capacity. You wear gloves, you wear a mask while you're flying, and you'd be fine. But that would be ambitious, I guess is the right way to put it.
It
and
would
maybe
be.
Selfish. Like, if I was single, that's probably how I would operate. But since I'm not, I won't be.
I'm reluctant to say this, but I will anyway, for those, because people are going to do it whether I say it or not, whether you care. But airline prices are just dirt cheap right now. My son just bought himself a trip to L.A. My oldest, nothing. They're giving.
Oh, yeah.
They're giving flights away right now.
All over the place. Resorts are opening back up. Cruises apparently are coming back online, which, good Lord, you couldn't pay me to get on a cruise right now.
Honestly. For me, 847 text. He wants to let us know, a tough guy in the 847, that we are stupid and we are a bunch of daisies.
Sure.
I'll use daisies instead of the word that he chose, which sounds kind of similar. Yes, we are. We are indeed that, sir. Sticks and stones, you're not going to hurt. Man, our listeners know our taste of movies, too. I got a guy with a Best in Show quote. There's quotes from The Town coming in today. Relevant, as Shane Reardon would say, to stuff that we're talking about. Thank you for playing along, listeners. I'm those of you who are texting in, I'm going to get back to each and every one of you. I appreciate you trying to make us chuckle.
Very much appreciate it. So I will give you the Bulls story that feels like it could have been from the last 5 years, but it's from the last 25 minutes coming up. And the one thing that did really jump out to me with the NFL schedule release in terms of how the NFL is trying to market this upcoming season. We'll get into it all.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Coming up on The Score.
We need to keep playing the way we're playing, which is hard and together. The wins will come. Wins are always good, but we're building this thing. We got the blocks being laid, and I like our effort tonight. I like our togetherness, and I like our competitiveness.
What makes you think the wins will come?
If you build it, they will come, Joel. Seen that movie?
I have seen
it. He's in the movie, Joel?
Not thinking about Jim Boylan for a while. So, we don't know if he'll be back. We certainly know we could live without him. Joe Cowley in the Sun-Times, Mac, is reporting. Well, here's the headline. Several key Bulls players making Jim Boylan's future as coach cloudy. He stresses, there's not a power struggle going on between ownership and the new front office on the future of Boylan, but there is a difference of opinion, and several key Bulls players have made the case to move on from their coach, according to a source. And tell me if this sounds familiar. This is the fourth paragraph of Joe Cowley's story. The Sun-Times has learned that things are staying vague for a reason. Ownership, as well as former Vice President of Basketball Operations turned advisor John Paxson, would like Boylan back and have told the coach as much.
That's what we feared. That was everybody. That was my fear. We wanted so badly to believe them when they said Arturis Karnišovas is the guy who runs the show. We wanted to buy in. If this is true, if this is going to be a struggle because Michael Reinsdorf hasn't, or John Paxson has an attachment to Jim Boylan and wants to see that play out, and Karnišovas doesn't get his way, that's problematic. Then what is the point of any of this if people who aren't there to be making basketball decisions continue to make basketball decisions?
I agree with you.
You empowered this guy to fix your franchise. Get out of his way.
And Cowley says Karnišovas and Mark Eversley are empowered to make whatever decision they come to. And he says what will undoubtedly sink him being Boylan, is basically that several key players have ripped Boylan and the elephant in the room of his 32% winning percentage since taking over for Fred Hoiberg. So basically, Cowley is saying Karnišovas is going to be able to fire Boylan if he wants to fire Boylan, but ownership and Paxson have made it known that they don't want him to fire Boylan. So if he fires Boylan, he knows that he's making a decision that his boss doesn't want him to make. That is classic Bulls meddling where they don't need to meddle.
Yeah, you know what? Arturis, pull the trigger. Do it.
I agree with you.
You're going to look better with a different coach. You're going to be proven right in 1 year, and you're going to have happier players who hopefully are getting better, working harder, and wanting to work harder for the new boss. That's what the objective needs to be, and I don't think it would take long to get that accomplished if there's as much, I don't want to say contempt. I think probably that's been over-exaggerated, not early on, but I think things smoothed out a little bit as he started to work his way through some of the early, you know, growing pains of being an NBA head coach. But I still don't think he's popular in there, and I still think probably a high percentage of them would prefer a change. So, yeah, he's got to pull the trigger on this. He's got to make that move, and if it upsets somebody, they'll get over it when they see that you were correct.
I agree with you. I still think that when he makes the move, as long as it's before the next full season begins, I'm fine with it. Because we don't know yet, we assume, but we don't know yet that they're not going to play the last 15 or 17 games of the 2019 regular season. So if that happens, and you want that to be Jim Boylan coaching, and so you can evaluate him with games, and they're not playing for the playoffs anyway, fine. If you want to do it where you can meet with him in person and fire him in person and not over Zoom, fine. Like you want to see him run practices, fine. I have no problem with any of that. No one's hiring coaches anyway because they still have to play this year's playoffs before we get towards next year's season. Or at least that's the working theory within the NBA right now, is that this season will crown a champion at some point. So I'm not concerned that, you know, it's May 8th and Boylan is still employed. I'll be concerned if next October, when the season is starting up again, that he's still employed.
Yeah, well, if he gives, you know, if they afford him the opportunity to audition for the job and evaluate his practice habits like you just suggested, then it does open up that possibility. And who knows what kind of, you know, trying to make an impression on a new GM and a new team president, what if the players have a little bit of an uptick in their play, because we've seen that happen, and it saves guys' jobs. Not typically in the NBA, more in baseball we've seen that happen. That's how Mike Quatty got extended with the Cubs years back. He got a team that had fallen apart late. You got an early jump out of him, and guys liked him, and they suggested, man, we ought to keep this guy, and they did, because of a bump for 6 weeks. And I think I agree. You're wasting time, though. If you do let him finish this season, and it's not a ton of time, but it's some time, and I think with a very young team, you get a jump on the next training camp if you at least put it, you know, if you know your guy is there. If he's not there, that's a different story. But if the guy who Mark Eversley wants to be his head coach is out there, then hire him as soon as hire him for the rest of the season if they're going to continue it, and let him install his systems and let those guys get used to working together.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I just think COVID-19 is dealing a lot of uncertainty into all facets of the world, and certainly in sports. And this is an organization that is not exactly beloved in the coaching community, right? We've had the Van Gundys go on national TV and crap on the Bulls from great heights for what they did to Jim Boylan. We know what they did to Vinny Del Negro. We know about Fred Hoiberg. Like we know Tom Thibodeau, Ron Adams. We know how the Bulls organization is viewed among coaches. So you sign this guy to a 3-year contract, and then you S-can him, you know, 65 games into a season when there's a pandemic, and you get a new boss and you do it over Skype. I could see wanting to handle that in as respectful of a manner as possible to Jim Boylan, who at least publicly has done exactly what the organization has wanted in terms of carrying out John Paxson's, you know, mandate for how he wanted the team coached. Like I understand the PR side of it, but like this paragraph from Cowley here, the fine line that Karnišovas is walking in all of this is doing so without rocking the boat with the Reinsdorfs barely a month into the job, but also reminding ownership that this new front office was hired under the promise of full autonomy in the basketball decision-making department, and there has to be a trust that they know what's best for this rebuild. Just the idea that that is even in question, according to one source to Joe Cowley, is appalling.
You know, yes, of course it is, but let's see if it's got legs before we freak out. I hope it's not accurate. If there are shreds of truth to it, you know, find out what's going on here. But I don't want to believe, God, you're a way larger fan than I don't want to believe that there could be a possibility that these guys don't have full power. That's what they were brought here to do. That's what all the promises were, and there's excitement. There's guarded excitement over the different levels of experience the new bosses have, and I think it would be absolutely just hideous to not give them full authority to do whatever they want with the head coach. You know, let them do their jobs. Stay out of their way.
Correct. And even, again, because Cowley says Karnišovas has the authority to do what he wants, but it's known that PAX and ownership want it to go a certain way. So that's just putting your thumb on the scale, right? That's what that is. It's like, hey, you can make this decision, but know I'd love it if your decision was the coach we already have under contract is one of the cheapest head coaches in the NBA. Love it if he came back. But he's doing Zoom calls with Zach LaVine, who is, you know, just to name a high-profile player, who we know has some issues with Jim Boylan. And so if Karnišovas is talking to Lauri Markkanen, Wendell Carter, and Zach LaVine, and those three guys don't like Jim Boylan, and you want to retain the trust of the second youngest roster in the NBA, you've got to make a move.
Yes.
You have
to. Yeah, you do. You do.
This segment was brought to you by True Green. The rest of the schedule is out, and there was one thing above all that I actually thought was really cool about how this league year is going to look. It's next on The Score.
Mr. Holmes in Kansas City is saying to Mr. Watson in Houston, it's elementary, my dear Watson.
Hey, Twitter world, it's OJ Mahomes. What's up? It's Mack and Parkins on The Score. Thanks for hanging out with us on the 35th day of Scorantine on this Friday. NFL schedule was out last night. Mac, did you watch the full 3-hour extravaganza?
Had a DVR malfunction. I did not. For some reason, it didn't record. All
what a
over
travesty.
This. Yeah, I know. I did want to wrap myself in the American flag last night and reflect on hope. So I do feel like I you know. And Good Morning Football ignored it completely today. Apparently, they feel the same way. But. No, the schedule comes out, and there's a lot of fun things to discuss here, and I don't know where you want to begin, but I just my first thought on a really, really couple of good games for opening week, and I love the Bears in Detroit. We talked about it a little bit yesterday, Danny. I love it putting Mitch Trubisky to some way, at least from a perception standpoint. I think there's some people who think that gives Trubisky a little bit of an upper hand, given that he's had success against the Lions. Love seeing the Packers and Vikings open against each other, and it's going to be fun. Welcome to the NFC South, Tom Brady. You get that nasty-ass New Orleans Saints defense on opening day at 3:25 for the country to see. The Buccaneers have five national dates, primetime dates, I should say, this year, so we're going to get a lot of Tom Brady.
Yeah, I thought that that's obviously the marquee game, and that's a great job. Putting Breeze against Brady and Brady in his new spot. Like they're going to be front and center a lot this year, and they should be, especially early. That's why I liked that the Bears-Bucks game was earlier, week 5 on a Thursday night, because it'll still have some feeling of newness, like positively or negatively. It'll feel a little special to see Tom Brady in a Bucks uniform that early in the season. The first thing that jumped out to me when I sat and was looking at something that was highlighting marquee games of each week as it went through, week 1, season opens, Chiefs-Texans on Thursday night, the classic playoff game with the big Chiefs comeback from last year, Pat Mahomes against Deshaun Watson. Week 2, you get Texans-Ravens, so Deshaun Watson against Lamar Jackson. And then week 3, Monday Night Football, Chiefs-Ravens, Lamar Jackson against Pat Mahomes. So arguably the three best young quarterbacks in the NFL, young, exciting, athletic, black quarterbacks, national stage, prominent stage, past two MVPs, all facing off against one another in head-to-head matchups the first 3 weeks of the season in various marquee primetime slates. That's the NFL trying to highlight and market the next generation of young quarterbacks early in the schedule. I thought that was brilliant in terms of how they did that strategically.
I love weeks 2. I love the first 3 weeks of Monday Night Football matchups, actually, but you're right. I mean, we've talked, Monday Night Football has not had great games. We have had, oddly, the last couple of years, the product has been better on Thursday nights. And good teams get a chance to play on Thursday nights. Also, young quarterbacks going head-to-head against, they don't actually play against each other, but going head-to-head, it's week 2. You get a look at the brand-new Cincinnati Bengals with Joe Burrow and Baker Mayfield, a divisional game. The Browns and Bengals is going to be a game that we get a chance to watch. That's the Thursday night game in week 2. So right out of the chute with a peek at Joe Burrow is going to be good. I was surprised to see the Las Vegas Raiders get as much of an opportunity to strut their stuff in prime time. They've got four primetime games. The Raiders.
Knock on wood if you're with me.
With you, Coach Gruden. I'm with you.
You know the thing about that is that now with Thursday night football being basically every week, right? It's not the first 2 weeks of the season, and there's not one the last week of the season, I believe. Monday night football being every week except the last week of the season. Three Thanksgiving games. There's so many national TV spots, right? So there's a doubleheader for Monday night football the first week, and then no Monday night the last week. So there's 17 Monday night football games. Sunday night football every week. That's 17 Sunday night football games. With three Thursday games on Thanksgiving, there's about 17 Thursday games. Then they play a few Saturday games in high-profile spots at the end of the year. You're talking 50-plus national television games, and that's not even including the Fox or CBS 325 window on Sunday, which goes to 20-something million people every single week. So you're right. Like, four national TV games for the Raiders feels like a lot. Four national TV games for the Bears feels like a lot. But there's also just so many damn national TV slots anymore that, I mean, other than the Chiefs, the Ravens, and the Buccaneers, you got to put someone in those spots.
Yeah, give me something. Most won't like the opening week Monday night matchups. And I looked at it at first and that's a little weird, but you've
Broncos,
got
Broncos Titans is the late one, right?
Yeah, Broncos Titans will be last, and you got Derrick Henry, and you know, you see Tennessee, and it's still, even though they make it to the AFC Championship game, they still have a Tennessee stink on them for me at first blush when I see them on the schedule. Maybe it was those Bob Greasy-like numbers that Ryan Tannehill was accruing during their run to the AFC title game. But it's Derrick Henry. It's a guy who averaged 180 yards rushing over a three-game stretch last year late in the season into the playoffs. And you've got another great running back going in the first game when the Giants play the Steelers. You get a chance to see Saquon Barkley. So for a guy who likes that sort of thing, that's good with me. But I can already hear people groaning, not wanting to watch Steelers and Giants for the first Monday night game of the year.
Yeah, those are pretty marquee teams and big fan bases who always draw ratings. So I get why they're doing that. And Denver's interesting with what they did with receivers with their first two picks and the young offensive talent that they're surrounding Drew Lock with to try to keep up with the firepower of the Chiefs in the AFC West. Like, I'm interested in Drew Lock and seeing whether or not that team is going to be real and if John Elway can evaluate the quarterback position, because he's given him everything possible in terms of young weapons to build that team into. So I think Denver's a young, interesting team. But, you know, no one knows anything when the schedule comes out, who's going to be good, who's going to be bad. It's not who you play, it's when you play them in terms of health and injury and when a team is actually playing well and all of that. So I think it's, you know, a lot of this, like going through, we joke about picking win, loss, whatever.
Right, right.
That's a fruitless exercise. But I will say, some of the marquee games, when you talk about superstar players on the big stage, it's kind of fun to think if there's a season, I know what I'll be doing on that day.
Right. We specialize in fruitless exercises. You know, sometimes you see a game that doesn't look appealing and it winds up being a great game. But you're right. Going through the schedule, win, loss, loss, win, loss. How many of these things are decided by one possession, too? Especially with a Bears team, good defensively, struggles to put points on the board. It is, you know, you could have the right record through 8 weeks of the season that you predicted in August, and you could be right on the ones that, you know, went the other way. You just have no idea where this thing is going to go. Unexpected wins, unexpected losses. Every year there's a hiccup with at least one opponent that you thought you were going to beat, and the Bears survived a couple of them last year where they should have lost. They survived David Blau on Thanksgiving, you know, and they lost to the damn Chargers when they were here, when the Chargers weren't going well. And Ken Whisenhunt, even though they won the game, cost him his job because they weren't very good offensively and he didn't want to run the ball early on. But you don't have any idea of how these things shake out. I heard Joe Ostrowski today, who was sitting in for Lawrence Holmes, say the Bears are dogs opening day against the Lions. I think, what is it, two and a half? Have you looked at the numbers for week one yet?
I saw that they were, I thought it was 1.5, 2, but
is
maybe
it
it's up to 2.
One?
Okay.
One, okay. Yeah, one. Bears. I, you know. The Lions are going to be an okay last place team. We say the same thing every year.
Yeah, I know, right? They're going to be again. The more we thought about what our guy Matt Miller said yesterday, and I loved the conversation. It was a lot of fun as far as fruitless exercises went. But saying the division got better, Green Bay was the story of the draft for not getting better. He says he thinks the division got better. The takeaway from the NFL's draft was, why didn't Green Bay get better? Why did they draft for the future when they were so close? Plus, I didn't point out yesterday, they're missing their leading tackler. They let him go away. Blake Martinez is gone. He played like crap in the championship game against Frisco, but he's been a pretty good player, and they lost him and didn't go draft his replacement, at least not as high as you think they might have wanted to for a guy who led the team in tackles for 3 or 4 years.
We've got a special coming up, special for Score Stories is how I'm being told at 3:30. I have no idea what it is. Looking forward to that. And there's an idea being floated, Mac, that strikes me as indefensible, and it's apparently gaining support. I wanna run it by you and see if I'm missing something. We'll get to that next on The Score.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.